I think of people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a pastor who opposed Adolf Hitler in Nazi Germany. And you can imagine what happened to him, what you might have guessed. I think of people throughout history who were willing to stand up to authority because they believed that God was telling them to do something and God was leading them in a certain direction. And I just started to think about having this kind of guts. I want to have this kind of guts. So this week we're going to be reading about Moses, and we're in Hebrews chapter 11. And it says this in Hebrews 11, 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. So you may remember the story of Moses, and as we go through Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11 is the Old Testament Cliff Notes. You want a quick summary of the Old Testament, read Hebrews chapter 11. But I also encourage you, read the Old Testament too, okay? Like your teachers told you in school, cliff notes are okay, but read the actual part of it. But this is also God's word. And Hebrews 11 shows us examples of people who had faith. And you may remember the story of Moses. And at the time, the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, had said that all Hebrew baby boys were to be killed. But his parents didn't want to go along with that. And remember, they put him in the water, and they put him in the basket, and the basket floated over to the Pharaoh's daughter, the princess of Egypt, and she took the child as her own. And it turns out that the child ended up being nursed by Moses' mother. But as he grew older, he was in the king's, in the Pharaoh's palace. But they didn't want to obey the king's edict. Obviously, they're fearful for their child's life, but they disobeyed. And then as we continue reading in verse 24, it says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And you know, you read that and you say, well, Moses was suffering for Christ. And you say, well, how could he do that? Jesus hadn't been born, wasn't going to be born for another 1,500 years or so. So how could that be? Well, Moses believed in the promise of Jesus. He was looking ahead to Jesus. So he believed in the Messiah. He believed in the Savior. He believed in Christ. But he was willing to stand up against Pharaoh, against the king, on behalf of the people of Israel. And he didn't always do it the right way. He made a lot of mistakes along the way, but he had faith. He had faith to step out and do what God was calling him to do. And to stand up to Pharaoh in those days was a big deal. And it's not like standing up to our president, for example, or any president that we have had. We can speak out freely against our president. We can say we don't like this, we don't like that. In the ancient world, you speak out against a king, you find yourself in a dungeon, or worse. So it took guts to do that. And Moses, instead of just hanging out in the palace and being ministered to and being served by servants and slaves, decided to align himself with God's people who themselves at the time were slaves. And just continuing on here, it says in verse 27, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. So here's the idea. Are you more concerned with what the invisible God thinks or what the visible people around you think? Which people are you more intimidated by? Which people do you hold in greater fear or awe or reverence? Who do you listen to? You listen to God the Father, who you can't see, or to people who are in authority who you can see. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. You may remember the story. Moses went to Pharaoh, and God performed 10 signs and wonders for the people of Israel and for the people of Egypt so that they would turn and they would let the people go out of slavery. And finally, the last one is that the angel of death went through all of Egypt, and unless you sacrificed an unblemished lamb and put the blood on the doorpost, the angel of death would strike down the firstborn of that family. Moses believed God. Moses believed God's promises, and Pharaoh let him go and let the people go. So here's somebody who is willing to oppose and stand up to authority, even if it meant risking your own life and your own well-being. And as I was reading this, you know, I was thinking at some point this October, I was going to bring a message to you a little bit about church history, about someone who stood up for what he believed, someone who stood up against authority, and someone who did something that was very difficult. And it aligns with our message here today, so I'd like to do that. 500 years ago this month, and this is church history, and you know, we sometimes skip over church history. Like, how did we get here? Some of you might be wondering, how did we get to be Congregationalists? How did this happen that we're here and now? How did it all come to be? So I want to tell you, give you a little history about 500 years ago on a guy named Martin Luther. He lived in the late 1400s and into the 1500s, and he was a priest, a monk in the Catholic Church, and he lived in Germany. And he didn't like some of the things that the Catholic Church was doing at the time. Now, here's the thing as I talk about this today, as I talk about the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church in the 1500s isn't the same as the Catholic Church today. And there were some things going on that aren't necessarily going on today. So before you go out of here and run up to your Catholic friends and you say, man, the pastor really bashed you guys today, let me just say this. I love my Catholic friends. I love my friends who aren't any religion. We're supposed to love all people. And we can also say to people, I disagree with your doctrine, with certain things. But I do want to differentiate between what Martin Luther did 500 years ago with the Catholic Church and the Catholic Church today. But it's important to understand the history. So there were certain things that he opposed. And let me just tell you a little bit about the power and the authority that the Catholic Church had in that day. They not only had religious authority, they also had political authority. They could throw you in jail. And they could have you executed for heresy. So there was a lot of authority rolled up into the Catholic Church at the time. There were other things that they did that Martin Luther didn't agree with. One thing was that they did not allow the Bible to be translated into the common language. He wanted the people to be able to have the Bible in German, their own language. And it was only in Latin. And so it was only the priests who could understand it. And he thought that was wrong. Now let me just say, the Catholic Church today has an English Bible, and a Spanish Bible, and a French Bible, and Bibles in all the languages. But back in those days, that wasn't allowed. There were a couple of other things going on that were big deals for Martin Luther. One thing was they were building a basilica, St. Peter's Basilica. If any of you have been to Rome, I haven't, but I've heard it's just a magnificent building. They were trying to build this building, and here's what they were telling people. If you give a donation to the church to build this building, it will get a relative of yours out of purgatory. And purgatory was believed to be a holding place between earth and heaven. I'll just tell you, we don't believe in purgatory. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, I'll just tell you one other thing. The Catholic Church doesn't do this anymore, as far as I know. They don't take offerings to get relatives out of purgatory. But they did in those days. And Martin Luther, he couldn't go along with it. The Lord convicted him, and he posted on the door of the cathedral in Wittenberg, Germany, a document, 95 grievances that he had, 95 reforms that he wanted to make to the Catholic Church, and it was on October 31st, so the end of this month. There's a big holiday at the end of this month, one of the biggest days, and it's not Halloween, okay? It's Reformation Day, okay? He posted the 95 theses on the door of this building. And this, he knew, would get him into trouble. He knew this would be difficult. But there was one particular verse that kept coming back to him. And the verse was this: the righteous will live by faith. It's in Romans 1:17. It's in other places in Scripture. And other verses, like, if you believe, you will not perish but have eternal life. Or Ephesians 2, you're saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So it's not putting a coin in an offering tray that will get your Aunt Mabel out of purgatory. That's not how it works. It's the question is whether did she have faith in Jesus Christ? The just shall live by faith. So he showed a lot of guts in doing this. He risked his life in doing this. And he actually had to go into hiding because he was in trouble. And he ended up going to court eventually. And they told him to recant. And that means take it all back. And he said no. He said, here I stand. I can do no other. He refused to take it back. And he ended up surviving. He ended up starting what we know now as the Lutheran Church. And some of you have been Lutheran. Some of you know Lutherans. But here's some church history. And I'm going to give you this chart. It's going to blow your mind in a second. So get ready for it. Here it comes. All right. Out of the Catholic Church came Martin Luther. Right up here. In 1522, the Lutheran Church was started. 5 years after he posted that document. He influenced a couple guys in Sweden and France named Calvin and Zwingli, and they started what was called the Reformed Church, which led to the Presbyterian Church in Scotland, a guy named John Knox, and the Presbyterian Church is now all over the world. And it was kind of a ripple effect all over Europe. All these different countries started to think about some of these things, and they started to make reforms. And I'll tell you what else happened. The Catholic Church did reform. They made some changes. But in England, there was a lot of political things going on. And it wasn't a direct result of what Luther did. But again, like I said, it was a ripple effect. The Church of England, there were people who, they broke away from the Catholic Church also. And out of the Church of England came the Methodists. And eventually came the Salvation Army and came the Assemblies of God out of that. And a lot of other Pentecostal denominations. And out of the Church of England came Congregationalists. And Congregationalists were people who did not believe we should have a bishop or a pope or a cardinal or somebody over the church. Congregationalists believe each church should govern themselves with the understanding that we're following Scripture and we're listening to the Holy Spirit. We're listening to the Lord. So that's where Congregationalism came from. Out of the Congregationalists came the Baptists. And a bunch of other different groups, Seventh-day Adventists is one of them, came out of the Baptists. But you might ask, what's the difference between a Baptist and a Congregationalist? A Baptist is a Congregationalist. In other words, they believe in local church government, but they believe in believer's baptism. So, I hate to break this to you. You have a Congregational church that practices believer's baptism. You guys might be Baptists. I'm just saying. Okay? So, but When people ask me, what are you? Here's the thing about the Protestant Reformation. I don't think I have ever said I'm Protestant. Maybe I've said it a few times just to help people to understand. But I don't like that name because I'm not really protesting anything. I believe what I believe. What other people want to believe is their business. I believe in Jesus. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Okay, so that is what I say. When people ask me, and I may go in and explain that. But let me just show you. The reason I gave you this chart, one thing here, this started with one guy, and there were other people who were brave, who were courageous in those days. It started with one guy who had guts, who posted this document on a door, who was willing to put his own life at risk, and his life was at risk. He was in danger of being executed. But he did that, and now today, all these groups here, and I couldn't list all the different groups because there wasn't enough room. I missed a bunch of them. For example, the Church of England in America is known as the Episcopal Church. Okay? So there's 800 million people who come under this heading of Protestant Christians who came out of what was called the Protestant Reformation because one guy had guts and other people had the guts to follow. And let me just tell you about Martin Luther. He was a really smart guy. He actually said that every Christian should memorize the book of Romans, 16 chapters. I read that once, and I read his quote there, and I said, I'm going to do that. I made it to chapter 2, okay? And by the time you get to the end of chapter 2, you forgot what chapter 1 said, and my brain, I just couldn't get around it. But he's an incredibly brilliant guy. But when he posted those 95 theses, he was basically just a small parish priest. He was me, okay? And by that, here's what I mean. Just a small town guy with not a lot of influence, but he had guts, and he had faith. and he had the faith to do what God was telling him to do. Like Moses had the faith to do what God was telling him to do. And if you read about Moses, Moses had his misgivings. Moses had his doubts. Moses had his tough moments. Moses had to bring his brother along to speak on his behalf. And Martin Luther had his doubts and he had his misgivings. So when you think about people like this, you think, oh, they're super Christians. They're just way tougher and more faithful than I am. No, they're not. They're human beings like you and me. They're just regular people who serve an amazing God and who follow God's leading. So 800 million people, and that's as of a 2010 estimate, now come under this category. Think about that. Think about the influence that we have in the world. Think about what we can do if we step out in faith, if we care more about what the invisible God says and less about what people around us say. Imagine if that was our focus, just following God's leading. And so today, I would pray that God would give us all the guts to act and to step out in faith and to do what he calls us to do. And maybe God will use one of you here to change the world or to change one person's world or to change your community, because that's what God does. He uses people of faith who are willing to step out with courage, with guts, with toughness. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for this time we've had this morning. I thank you for people that have been courageous in the past. Lord, I thank you for people who are courageous today and are willing to step out in faith and do what you've called them to do. Father, I pray that we would be that people. I pray that we would step out. I pray that we would demonstrate courage and bravery and boldness, regardless of what people and authorities might say. You are the king. You are our authority. And Lord, I pray that you would fill us with a new spirit of boldness. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.